Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. We are glad to welcome you in tonight to All About Service Dogs, hosted by your host, yours truly, Doc Vinsel. Tonight, we'll have joining us Miss Erin Dogay. And
hello.
She will be sharing with us about her activities, her training organization, her training business, and her rescue dog work, and probably throwing in a bit about how livestock guardian dogs play into the whole mix. So, Erin, we had a little lag time in there, so why don't you go ahead and greet the people and tell us a little bit about your relationship with service dogs.
Well, thank you for having me back. I'm Erin. I'm from South Texas. I am just an independent dog trainer. I run a small dog training company who does personal training all the way from helping people how to select the proper puppy for the proper home all the way up into service dogs. I've trained detector dogs. I mean, I've pretty much covered all the bases as far as different training sports. I currently compete in weight pull. I have a livestock guardian dog. That's something, a new area I've gotten into the last couple of years. Dog training is kind of my life. I even met my husband dog training. So it's just something, it's just my passion. I like to work dogs. I like to work with the people.
Well, okay, you said a mouthful there. And, she invoked the husband rule. So, you know, we all got to stand back and say, well, maybe we'll have some dog training business to deal with. And that's about it. That's the extent of it right there. But, yes, Erin, I am glad that you did come back. And for those who are aware and keeping notes, Erin was on a show a week or so ago where we had some sound trouble and she was on a panel. And I thought it'd be really cool if she came back and talked about her business in particular so that we can get that promoted and maybe see if she might be able to help some of you folks out there in South Texas.
Be happy to.
Erin, let's start back at the very beginning. And let's talk about your life when you got interested in training dogs. How did that happen and how did that come about?
Well, when I was a little girl in high school, I did like a work release program. And the job I happened to have was cleaning kennels at a local dog training facility that specialized in training police and military dogs in Chicago. I started off scooping kennels, and over the years, summer jobs, as I got older, kind of progressed, and I got to move up the ranks a little, and eventually I was working with the trainers, you know, just as their assistant, which got me really, really just into it. I mean, that's what I did when I was a teenager. I just hung out at the dog training facility and learned as much as I could. Once I had graduated from high school, I went off to college, did my business and everything. And then I discovered that there is actually a dog training school that was located here in Hutto, Texas. And off to training school I went, where I did, initially I did three months, where I learned how to do, you know, your basics and the basics about learning how to train dogs and the theories and everything behind it. Once I had graduated that, I just did continuing education courses. And I went back and I learned how to work shuts on dogs and then retriever dogs, service dogs, military dogs. And it's kind of just always been my passion. I always knew I wanted to work with animals. I just wasn't quite sure what area I was going to go into. And definitely ended up in the right career path for me because I've kind of grown. I operate my own rest off here off my farm in South Texas, and I'm really happy to be able to be my own boss and be able to kind of train dogs as and just follow my passion, basically.
All right. You brushed over your college real fast. Let's talk about that for a minute, just for sake of background.
Yeah.
Did you finish?
I did finish. I just went through your basics. I did 2 years for business, knowing that eventually I wanted to kind of open my own business. I was hoping to do dog training or, you know, I dabbled in pet grooming and pet supplies, products, food-related stuff. So I had to do something related to business before my family was okay with sending me off to just, you know, basically a trade school is basically what it is.
Right, right. So you did a 2-year program in whatever the basic business is. And then you said, And you said, let me go get what I want to get. And you found this dog training school and said, well, shoot, this is right here close to home. Let me do this.
And well, at the time, I was actually living in, I was living in Chicago at the time. You know, yeah, I think I was 20 years old when I found it. I was living in Chicago, and me and my family, we kind of jumped in the car, and we drove to Texas, and we checked the school out. And I was like, yes, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. And 2 months later, I was moving to Texas to go to dog training school.
Well, isn't that super? Okay, so you went out to South Texas.
Yeah, now I'm in South Texas.
Figured, well, I'm going to do this dog thing. Well, I could see where you get into livestock guardian dogs out in South Texas because there's a little bit of livestock out there.
Coming from Chicago, you know, when I moved out to Texas to follow my dog training dream, I ended up on a farm. Well, when you have a farm, you still let up the farm animals. When you have farm animals, then you have predators that you have to deal with. And it took a while to learn the best way, you know, with fencing and with night patrols and life, how best to protect your livestock. And I stumbled across livestock guardian dogs and kind of started digging and doing my research and realized that, hey, you know, people have been doing this for thousands upon thousands of years, and this has worked. I'm going to give this a shot. And, man, I tell you, I fall in love with most of the guardian breeds. I like to see a dog do what it's intended to do. And, it's you know, livestock guardian dogs are bred to work, and that's exactly what they do, and they do it very well.
Yeah, well, as I get my facility built the way I want it built, I might have to deal with the livestock guardian dogs myself just so they can actually work and do the job and stay out of the way of my service dogs. But, okay, so let's see. So we found out what got your interest and found out how you started getting into it. And while we were doing that, you mentioned your dog rescue, so why don't we go ahead and plug that real quick and get it out of the way, and then we can talk about something more important like real service dog work. But, you know, somebody's got to rescue the dog. So let's talk about your dog rescue a little bit.
I run a little organization. It's a nonprofit organization here off of my ranch that I started up on my own. It's called Dumpster Dog Rescue. We're pretty much living way out here in the rural area. There was such a need because we don't have animal laws. We don't have a humane society. We don't even have an animal control. You know, it was a big problem out here. And I just kind of started picking up dogs here and there, and it kind of just snowballed in the last 10 years or so into, you know, I've placed and rescued now over 400 dogs. A lot of them were problems. A lot of them were feral dogs. And, you know, having the dog training background really does help in placing rescues. And it's kind of just grown from there. Now I take in not only rescued dogs, but I've taken in horses and pigs and iguanas, and it's kind of just snowballed out of control.
So if I'm inferring correctly, you might get the dog, acquire the dog, however you acquire the dog, and then you do some remedial training or whatnot.
Yeah.
Make the dog adoptable, if you will.
Exactly,
and then
yeah.
You're able to have the dog adopted out.
Yeah. I say rescue, rehab, and rehome. You know, a lot of the dogs come with issues, so it helps to kind of know what you're dealing with and how to better place problem dogs with homes and make them adoptable.
All right. Now, that might, I don't know, I'm giving you the opportunity to talk about it, that might lead us right into your service dog or your dog training academy, either way. Maybe some of those dogs find their way into being placed as service dogs. Maybe not. I don't know. But tell us about your dog training academy.
Well, like I said, it's me and my sister, but she's located in Chicago, so we kind of do, you know, dual training for anybody who's in the north who needs help, and then obviously I'm here in the south. But I do a lot of group classes, and I do a lot of in-home private, what I call behavior modification. I really like to deal with the dogs that have issues. That's kind of my passion. But I have worked with plenty of dogs who, you know, there's a big need for service dogs out here and not a lot of help down in rural Texas. And I have worked with one rescue of mine that was a boxer who actually ended up working really well as a seizure alert dog for a little boy who the family could not afford a dog on their own, and they were having a hard time finding outlets out here for anybody to help them. And I had trained one of her sister's dogs, and I had this boxer that was a rescue that just kind of happened to fit the bill. And the dog actually worked out very well for the family, and the dog is still continuing to work to this day, and that was probably 4 years ago. So, yeah, I have had some rescues that, you know, if they have what it takes to be a service dog, definitely.
Okay, and the way you do what you do, you don't have the pressure of forcing the dog into something that it's, you know, really not trying
to
do.
Yeah.
You know, the dog is like, look, I was out here minding my own business, wandering in the forest, and you grabbed me. I didn't come up to your door looking for help. But, so that's pretty good. Now, how did you go from, I'm going to train dogs and be just a dog trainer, to I'm going to train service dogs?
Well, it was a continuing education course that I went through with the Dog Training Academy, and it was focused basically. It was a six-week program that was based on service dog training. And I thought, you know, I wasn't sure at the time what I wanted to do. You know, because you have dog trainers, and then you have dog trainers that specialize in, you know, retriever training or, you know, different areas. And I just figured, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try everything. Why not? I'm young. I'm going to try it all. And once I had gone through that course, just seeing how what good these dogs can do, and I was just amazed at what you can get a dog to do for a human being who needs that dog. It just, I was amazed by it. So I really just did pursue that. It just fascinated me.
Okay. Now, I don't want to be rude, and I just realized you just said, yeah, I kind of work with my sister, and she's out in Chicago. Now, will your sister be listening tonight, or is she too busy to listen to your show?
You know, I invited her to listen. I don't know, Shannon, if you're out there. That little number I gave you, you should call us.
So basically, you just went ahead and did what I was going to say. I was going to say, go ahead and say hi to Sister Shannon, because Sister Shannon, she don't answer mom stuff because she doesn't know me, but she knows you, so maybe she'll answer you if you say hey.
She was too shy to talk on the radio, she said.
Uh-huh,
she said she was going to listen to me do it first.
Well, there's always an alpha in every group. I guess we know who the alpha is over there in your house. So let's see. I am guessing you fell into the livestock guardian dogs because of a need for a livestock guardian dogs. But
yep.
I'm going to let you tell the story yourself about you and the livestock guardian dogs and then livestock guardian dogs and service dogs and how the two come together for you.
All right. Well, like I said, I moved out here to rural area, animals on a farm. Well, I decided to go with miniature cattle. Now I have miniature Scottish Highlands cattle. And at the time, my neighbors were having a problem with loose feral dogs. And my cattle are so little that I thought, you know, I'm going to need something. You know, these cows are, you know, a good 100 acres from my house. I can't see them all the time. I can't keep an eye on them. What can protect these other than the fencing that we already have? And just like I said, doing patrols, driving out there, checking on everybody. And kind of started doing research. And I always knew about the livestock guardian dogs. You know, it's something, you know, you learn about the different breeds. But I didn't really realize what an asset they are to a farm. You know, you always see people with Great Pyrenees or, you know, Anatolians. And I've only ever experienced them as pets. And once you start reading and really getting into them and seeing what they're supposed to, how well that they can do their job, you know, you leave them out there with their livestock and they just do their job. Their job is to protect those livestock and they bond to them. And I was amazed. And the more research I did, it helped me kind of narrow down the dog for the job. And I went with the breed that I went with because I am in hot Texas. The terrain is hot and we've got, you know, rough vegetation, so I wanted to go with a short-coated breed, but a dog that could still deal with the heat and would still guard my cattle. At the time, it was just my cattle, from the loose dogs and the feral pigs and all the other good things that go bump in the night. And I ended
now
up with my dog,
Argus. Now you done invited those loose dogs into the house. Look at you. A while ago, you were trying to keep them away. Now you're playing, let's make a deal. Okay, I'm going to let you in. Just don't bother with my cows. Okay?
Exactly. That's exactly it. Y'all can come here and I'm going to help you, but you go after my livestock and you're going to, you know, you're going to learn a tough lesson. And I've run into that problem. Now, bringing loose dogs here and stray dogs to the farm, not every dog is going to, you know, they're not going to understand that these chickens and pigs can't be harassed. But you know what? Argus is level-minded enough to realize, hey, you know, I'm going to show you what you can and can't do. If you cross that line, I'm going to correct you. And that's all it took for these dogs to understand that, hey, okay, obviously I can't harass these livestock because big dog over there is going to put me in my place.
Now you mentioned Argus. And now, is Argus a service dog or is it just another livestock guardian dog?
He's just a livestock guardian dog. I actually refer to him as just a general purpose farm guardian because he's not with the livestock 24/7. He just kind of has the run of the place. But I do use Argus to do like in school presentations for kids in inner city San Antonio here, who have never put their hands on a big dog, who've only ever seen big dogs from, you know, as a guardian type on chains behind fences. So I have taken them into school systems and stuff just as more as, I don't know if you'd call it a therapy dog, but just for basically for kids to get to put their hands on a big dog and kind of see that they're not all so big and scary. So he has done some work with some kids.
Okay. Now, what breed did you say you chose? I don't know if you actually got that far.
He is a Bose Shepherd Turkish Kongo cross.
Now, is that the kind of, did you say cross?
Yeah, he's a mix of the two.
Okay. Now, your breed that you have working for you, are they all of the same breed, that same cross, or are they a different breed?
No, I just have, right now I just have Argus, and that is the breed I will stick with.
Well, how many cows you got?
Right now, just four.
Oh, Well, shoot, you don't need a whole bunch of dogs to take care of four little, and you got a little cow.
I've got a little cow. Yeah.
Okay, well,
I don't need a pack of dogs.
All right. Yeah, well, but you have a pack of dogs because you rescue them. But
yes, I have a pack of dogs.
You try to get them rehabbed and rehomed so they can get gone out of your place.
Yeah, it's a revolving door, though. You get some out and more come in. It's a never-ending story.
Right. Now, we're about to get into the service dog thing pretty solid. But, well, why don't I just use that as a segue? Now, with your service dog training and training of service dogs, what is your process like? Do you use the owner's current dog? Do you find them a dog? Do you breed for the dogs? How do you get your dogs, your candidates?
I've done both. If somebody, a client, is to call me and say, hey, I have this dog, I have this need, can you tell me if we can marry the two? And I'm quite happy to go over and meet these clients and see if their dog, you know, not every dog can be a service dog, as you know. It's, you know, depending on what you need from that dog. So if they have a dog already that will fit the bill and I believe could do the job, then I am 100% happy to help them in their goals. If they have a need but don't have a dog, then by all means, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take them out and I'm going to search and help them find an appropriate dog to use. So I've done both. I have not yet met with any breeders in particular who breed for service dogs. I've kind of just worked with people's dogs and helped others find the dogs to fit the bill.
Okay. Let's say I'm one of those people and I call you up and I need / want a service dog, and I don't have a clue. I just heard that, you know, dogs can help you and I need help. And I heard that you was a pretty good service dog person, pretty good trainer. And so I call you up and I say, hey, Aaron, I need a service dog. What should I look for? Because I don't have a dog. So what should I look for? What would you tell me? What should I look for in this dog?
First, I'd have to find out exactly what you were expecting. You know, if you're wanting a dog to assist in, you know, helping you with your physical limitations, or if you're looking for a dog for your autistic child, or if you're looking for a dog for hearing, you know, for me, different dogs are going to play different roles. So it would be first finding out exactly what you're expecting from a dog and how far and how much help you need.
Okay. Let's say I'm a pretty big boy, and let's say that I get a little wobbly at times. So maybe I need a little help, you know, with some stability or whatnot.
Okay.
And let's just use that one as a starter. I might throw some other stuff in later just to get you going. But let's just say that's all I told you right now. Now, I need a dog on it. Let me know what do I need to look for when I go look for these dogs.
All right, well, I'm going to say, obviously, if you're a bigger person and you're having some stability issues, we're going to look for a bigger, more solid dog. And we'll kind of, you know, I've seen Great Danes used. That might be a good option. Some livestock guardian breeds would be another option. But you want to find a dog that has the drive to want to work and help you out, but also is going to be a calm, easygoing, supportive dog. So we're definitely going to look for a big dog.
Yeah, Aaron, it sounds like your phone or something is cut out.
No, I have you, Doc. Did you hear me?
You're coming back now. You're coming back to me. You're coming back to me.
I'm sorry. I must have a bad connection. I don't know where you lost me at.
Well, they might use a livestock dog if they need that bigger dog. That's what you were saying,
yeah.
Something like that.
And I do already know of some dogs that are working very well, who are livestock guardian breeds, because they are big, stoic, easygoing dogs who can and are used to, you know, having livestock bounce all over them and push and pull on them, and they're a breed that doesn't bother them. So that's a good dog, in my opinion, to use for mobility.
Aaron, I just don't know about the phone going on over there. I think you're the gremlin in the soup.
Yeah, you're losing me again.
There you go. It's not me this time. This time it's on your end.
And I'm just sitting still. I have not moved.
I don't know. Are you on your cell phone?
I am on my cell phone, yeah.
Sometimes that goes in and out. And sometimes the battery goes, you know, if the battery goes down, that plays games.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the only phone I have.
Okay, well, we have to work with what we got to work with. Let's ask you this right here. You do have a relationship with these livestock guardian dogs, and we do know you've already said that you are not prejudiced by these dogs. You'll work with the dog the person has, and you'll work to get the person whatever kind of dog they need according to their disability. My question for you is, if we are looking at these livestock dogs, livestock guardian dogs, or we're looking at smaller dogs, what does the working time, how does that play into that? You know, the time that the dog has to service the individual.
As far as training-wise? Like,
well,
how long?
As far as, you know, once the dog is trained, how long am I going to be able to have this dog in service?
Well, the livestock guardians themselves are a long-lived, healthy, you know, breeds of dog. You know, they live 14, 15 years, and many of them are still working up until their teens. So I could see these dogs, you know, depending, making sure that they're come from good breeding stock and are healthy enough and don't have the joint problems or the, you know, issues. I can see them working 9, 10 years old. They're a long-lived, healthy, you know, strong breed.
Okay, now I was reading that the bigger your dog, the shorter the lifespan. Are you telling me that's not true when it comes to livestock guardian dogs?
I would agree with you, whereas you have, say, your Irish Wolfhounds or your Great Danes who only live maybe a good 6, 7 years, if you're lucky. Now, there have been some that have lived longer. I mean, you hear about them here and there, but healthy, young, still able to work, you know, 7, 8 years is what you're going to get. Yes, these livestock guardian dogs are big dogs, and they are long-lived, and they are still working in their fields up until their teens.
And so as a service dog, if you happen to pick one as a service dog, the fact that they are long-lived, that means they have a longer service life, which could save you some money.
Yeah, I would say that's a definite pro with using a livestock guardian breed over some other breed.
Interesting. I am going to write that down as a selling point. In fact, I actually use that with my dogs because I say with I have giant breed dogs, and one of the knocks against that is the short lifespan. And I say it's a short lifespan if you follow what people are trying to tell you to do these days. And that's not what these dogs need. These dogs need something different. Now, if you follow what I tell you, you're going to get almost double the working time, which means you don't have to pay for a service dog twice. You can pay for that service dog once, get twice the time, you have saved money, and now we're talking.
Yeah.
People start paying attention when you start talking about money.
We start bringing up the figures, yes.
Because that's what they want to know. How much is it going to cost? Now, speaking of how much is it going to cost, with the way you do your training, I think I'm understanding you pretty much do what I like to call trainer-assisted training.
Yes.
And when you train the dog, like for service dog, does the dog actually live with you and board with you until it's trained, or does the person come to you like once a week or however long your schedule is? Or how does that work?
I've done both. It depends on, like, we take it back to what their needs are. And depending on the dog and the person themselves, if the person is disabled enough where they are having a hard time working their own dog, and obviously I'm going to board and train the dog here at my kennel. I'm going to do, you know, put the work into this dog, and then usually I return the dog to the family or to the owner, and then I do follow-up, you know, course care with them, where I'll work with them a week, you know, once or twice a week until my services are no longer needed. I never say it's going to take X amount of time to train this dog. That's just not the way I operate. I'm going to be upfront and honest. And, you know, depending on the person, depending on the dog and their situation, you know, this could be ongoing or this could be 6, 9, 12 months. You never know. So I kind of just, it's open-ended with me. But I'll do it either way depending on the situation. I rather put the first few months on the dog myself here at my kennel and then return to the owner and kind of work with the two. But I've had success working with the owner in their home with their dog.
Okay, so she can go back and forth, dang it. All right.
I'm flexible.
All right. I am being hazed because I'm on the radio, and so I'm being hazed, and I'm not going to tease. I am going to just be hazed. Not going to tease. Now, with your training and the way your methodologies of training, there's a bunch of rhetoric out. Different types of training, different uses of different pieces of equipment. Do you have any, I don't know if I would say pet peeves or any strict line do's and don'ts with ways of training or equipment or anything like that?
I don't. I take it back to not every dog and not every person learns or trains the same. I am happy to work whatever my client wants to use. If they're happy and comfortable using a flat collar and a clicker, then you know what? We're going to do flat collar and a clicker. If they want to use, you know, a prong collar or an e-collar or whatever piece of equipment they choose to use, I'm going to work with what they have. Now, if we're working a dog that obviously doesn't need those tools, then I'm going to speak up and say, hey, you know, your dog really doesn't need these tools. Let's try this. But not everybody wants to use a clicker and treat. Not everybody wants to use, negative training or whatever you want to call an e-collar. I'm like I said, I'm very flexible. I'm going to help you and your dog get the results that you're looking for the best way I can. So I will do, depending on the situation, I guess I could say, is the way I'll go about it. But I don't turn any training tool down, and I don't, you know, talk badly about using all treat training. I kind of will go whatever gets the job done, I guess I should say, in short.
Because you're flexible and you...
Because I'm flexible, that is right.
You do it how it needs to be done to get the job done.
Yes.
Okay. And you're not going to poo-poo anybody's training methodologies because that's just not the way you live your life.
No. Well, now, I will say,
I
do enjoy clicker training. to me that it gets the results that you're looking for. So if I'm working with someone who's just like, well, I don't know, let's just do however you want to do it. And if they throw that ball in my court, then yeah, I usually start with clicker training, just because that's what makes me happy. I get the results I'm looking for using a clicker.
Okay, now I'm going to test you. I said I wasn't going to throw any tests at you, but I got to because you just said that.
Hey, let's do it.
How many clickers do you own? Right now, if I came to your place right now. Yes, if I came to your place right now, how many clickers could I count?
One that I actually use, but I carry a box of them for my clients.
Good answer, good answer, good answer. Because if you'd have said you only had one, if you'd have told me you only had one, I would have said, she ain't really in the clicker training like she says she is.
No, I got a box that's sitting about 10 feet from me right now.
Okay. See, it's got a box. Good enough.
Got a box.
Now, see, that sold me on the fact that girl's a clicker trainer. She believes in marking behaviors. She really believes that it works. Okay. So now I got you labeled, I got you put into a box, even with your little flexible self. I had just flexibly bent you right into that little box because I'm good like that, and I could do that.
That was smooth. That was smooth. I'll give you that.
Oh, like peanut butter. Dang. Not the crunchy kind.
Let's hope not.
Okay, so let's get this train back on the track because we can't have this train derailed. No, can't do it, Okay, so out in West Texas, well, you're not West Texas, you're South Texas.
South Texas has
a different kind of people. Just like West Texas has a different kind of people, but South Texas has a different kind of people. And kind of mixed in with those Cajuns from across the border over there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just talk a little bit about preferences and dogs that you see out your way. Of course, you live in a rural place, so there's going to be different types of dogs. But what types of dogs are you seeing most, and, you know, the kind that you're rescuing? And have a possibility of being retrained and put to work. What types of dogs are you seeing out there?
Down by me, because I am so rural and it's a very rural farming community, dogs out here, you rarely come across a household that has pet dogs that live in the house and are, you know, wearing jackets and sweaters and stuff. Dogs out here usually serve a purpose. They're either hunting dogs, or livestock guardian dogs, or they're ranching dogs. Or you do have the population of guard dogs. But the main dogs that I see out here and the main dogs that I pick up are going to be your hunting dog crosses. I see a lot of Blue Laceys. I see a lot of Dogos, a lot of Pits, a lot of American Bulldogs. And then you see your ranching dogs like your Collies and your a lot of Blue Heelers. Oh, God, a lot of Blue Heelers. Which, I mean, they're a good breed of dogs. But they're probably 70% of dogs that are here are Blue Heelers. And then you see a lot of Anatolians and a lot of Great Pyrenees for livestock guardian dogs.
So you see a lot of Great Pyrenees in South Texas?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, I don't personally feel that they're the best dog for the job in this environment, which is what steered me away. You know, I have a neighbor not too far from me who uses nothing but Pyrenees, and those dogs just, to me, look miserable. You know, we're a very sandy, very hot, very humid environment here, and their coats just look terrible. The dogs just look miserable. I mean, they're still doing their job, guarding their goats and doing their thing, but I chose to go with the breed that I went with because of the coat.
Okay. See, for me, my first thought is, if I'm going livestock guardian dog, I'm going with the GP because I love GPs. Well, I don't love GPs. Not like I love my St. Bernards, but, you know, they're close cousin to my St. Bernards, so I like the GPs. So
yeah.
You know, and people would say, well, you can't do that down in Florida. That's just not. And I said, shut up. You don't know. My dogs do well. And,
yeah.
But let's see, what other trouble can I get you into? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm fixing to turn you loose and let you talk about whatever it is that you might want to unfold to a service dog population. These might, well, most of these people are not people that are going to come to you, so you're not going to have a chance to talk to them. But some of them might be people over there in South Texas, right in San Antonio, and they might get sold on what you say and come say, hey, Aaron, let me throw some money at you so you can help me train my dog. So take a minute and let us know what you're passionate about as it pertains to service dogs and service dog training and service dog handlers and or service dog organizations. And let us hear from you on that, and I'll just let you free flow on that until you get tired for a minute.
Well, let me see. If I had to narrow down one of my things that I would like to talk to about service dogs is, I think it would be pushing the livestock guardian breeds. I think that that's an area that they're overlooked as a possibility for work, aside from their guardian details. I feel they are a good breed, many good breeds, like you said, like the GP. I think that they would do very well. There are pros and there are cons to every breed. A pro and a con would be their size. You know, getting a service dog on a plane or in a train or in a, you know, under the table at a restaurant would be a hard thing to do with these big dogs, which I could see as a con. But a pro would be your mobility. Your support dogs, they do very well.
All right. Excuse me, Aaron. I don't know if you turned your head one way or the other, but you're starting to get garbled over in my headphones. So I'm not sure if that's how it's coming out over there, but I just wanted to see if I can get you to adjust so that you can project so that people can hear what you're saying.
All right. Can you hear me clearly now?
A little better.
A little better? I haven't moved, so I don't know what happened.
There you go.
Better? Okay, I'm going to sit just like this.
Yeah, do that.
I was just touching on why I think the livestock guardian breeds would do well in service dog work. I think that they are overlooked a little. I think they're overlooked for their abilities, especially with the mobility and hearing dogs, because they are pretty sensitive to sounds, things that go bump in the night, as we like to say. I do know of some that are working as hearing dogs, and they do very well at it. I know some that are working as mobility dogs, and they do very well. And even one that works as an autistic child support dog, and he is doing very well at it. Hopefully we'll have a chance to hear from Tom the next time we maybe talk about service dogs with the livestock guardian breed.
Okay, was that it?
Can you hear me?
Aaron.
No, yeah,
you just
me?
Said out. Now I can.
Oh, goodness.
You said hear from Tom, and then I didn't hear anything else.
No, I'm gonna leave it in your court then, because I don't know where you're losing me and what you're hearing.
Well. She just got frustrated with us, folks. She's like, shoot. You telling me I'm coming in and out. I just ain't going to talk to y'all no more.
I just said I'm instead of repeating myself.
Now, just so that we know, because I know there's a lot of playboys out here, and they'll tell a girl that they want her to train their dog just so that they can have time with the girl. Now, you said you met your husband in dog training. Does he work with you in the training of the dogs or no?
He does not. Yeah, I actually met him at the dog training school. he was there to learn how to work his own dogs. At the time, he was breeding and raising some dogs. Going to be there, and I happened to be there, and now we live here, and he's gone off to do his own thing, and I've stuck with the dog training. But, yeah, that does happen. That does happen. You get calls just to hang out with a pretty girl. But you know what? If I'm working your dog and you're going to pay me for it, that's okay. I'll hang out with you.
Oh, my. Folks, you heard it here. See what you hear when you listen to Doc's show? Well, you find out how to do this thing. And, you know, I thought it was just ladies that did that. Hey, will you help me train my dog? But, no, you telling me, yep, the fellas do it, too.
The fellas do it, so, too. I actually had to take my name and number off the side of my truck for my training business.
Well, you know.
Get right off my doors.
It is hard out here for fellas. You know, we trying to find a good woman, and you find a woman who's working, doesn't mind working, you might want to just get that lady a call and say, hello, I noticed you out here working, so maybe we could have a cup of coffee. But I have heard that you are coming through fine and that I am coming through fine. Yeah, I got people checking into this stuff now. And so tell us some of the cons, because you said pros, and when you tried to say cons before, it got garbled or I couldn't hear it. So what would be some of the cons for your overlooked large? Them. Livestock guardian dogs.
I would say one of the cons would be their size. You know, Argus is 155 pounds. He's about 35 inches tall at the shoulder. Not as big as your St. Bernards, I'm sure, but he's a big dog. And, you know, most of the livestock guardian dog breeds are of the large frame variety. So getting them to ride on an airplane would be difficult. You know, getting them to tuck up nice and neat under a restaurant table, I could see being difficult. But another con would probably be the fact that they take so long to grow and mature. They're not as fast as some of the other breeds out there. So it would be initial training would take a little bit longer, I would say. You know, you need to put at least, give them at least 3 to 5 years to kind of mature. So that definitely would be a con. Some of them are dog aggressive, which you're not going to find with your Labradors or your Goldens or, you know, some of the other breeds that you see doing service dog work. So you would definitely have to make sure you put a lot of training on that and pick the right puppy so you don't have, you know, you can't have your service dog eating other dogs. And then maybe another con would be the fact that they are a defensive breed of dog. So you want to make sure that you have the good temperament of the dog that you do so that he's not trying to eat the EMS workers if you were to need assistance.
Well, that's a whole lot of cons right there.
Well,
but
I'm just throwing those out there.
Well, I understand. And, you know, I certainly appreciate it. But, you know, you present a balanced case and, you know, you throw out the pros and the cons. And having given both the pros and the cons, we know that it's not necessarily the breed. It's the individual dog and then the training and temperament in breeding of that dog. And, you know, you can find a good dog in any breed, just like you can find bad dogs in any breed. And so we want to look at the job that the dog is going to be asked to do and then look at the dog to see if he can do it. And then put your money into the training. Okay, let me do this for a second. And, while I do this, you be thinking of that second thing, because you said you had, if you had to narrow down to one thing, well, now I'm going to give you another thing. But you be thinking on that. And I would like to invite folks who might want to call 646-668-2499. If you have a question or a comment or some encouragement for Aaron, maybe you can give a call, And once you dial that number, press the number 1 on your keypad, and then you can make a comment for Aaron or a question. We do know that we have folks that are listening just because they knew Aaron was going to be doing the show. And so maybe somebody might want to call in and say, yeah, this girl right here, she's a real good trainer. And if you need dog training out there in South Texas, this is the one you need to go to, because she did my dog, and my dog is bulletproof. And so, you know, we'll take all those calls. And if you don't call, then that's fine, too. Shannon, if you're big enough, bold enough, and brave enough, why don't you give a call? Yeah, I'm calling you out. And give your sister some props. But I done put out the little call there. So, Aaron, if you got that one more something that you want to say to the people, talk to the people. Enlighten them. Give them something from you.
From me? Well, let's see. Something that I'd really like to address to anybody who's looking for a service dog, is just make sure you do, like Doc said, make sure you find the right dog for the job. Don't just go out and think that you can buy a Labrador puppy and he's going to be the best service dog on the planet. Not saying that he won't be, but just make sure you do your research. Find a good trainer. Find a good dog. You know, follow the right channels to get where you need to go. It's sad, but you see so many failed, you know, and I hate to say failed, but failed service dogs who end up getting dumped, pushed aside for whatever reason. Just make sure you do your research and you find a good dog and find the correct dog for the job.
Well, there you go. Now you heard it from me and you heard it from Aaron. If you fool around and do something different, well, you're on your own. Hey, Aaron, let's do this for a second. Want to give you the opportunity, sitting up real straight and projecting your voice through the phone. I want you to tell some of these owner trainers out there why it would be a good idea for them to consult with a trainer to at least do trainer assisted training, and why that would be helpful and recommended. And then as you do that, on the back end of it, tell the people in South Texas why that trainer should be you.
Well, I'm going to just give it to you the way that it is. You need the help to train your dog. You can't just read a book or watch YouTube and think you can do it all. There is trainers know, I don't want to be rude, but trainers know what they're doing. You can screw a dog up. And if you've gotten this dog and you've put this money and you have all these high hopes, well, you can really screw the dog up not knowing what you're doing. Trainer to help you out or at least coach you through what you're trying to do. I mean, you're going to come across a problem in training because it's not always easy. You know, that's why we do it as a career and not just as a hobby. You're going to come across a problem. What are you going to do? Google it or YouTube it? And not every training situation works for every dog. Not every tool works for every dog. And it's, in my eyes, unfair to try a bunch of different things on one dog, especially when you don't know what you're doing. So call one of us trainers, and we're more than happy to help you through whatever problem you're having. Reach out and give me a call. I'm happy to come meet with you or even just speak with you over the phone or through an email and see if I can't help you get to where your goals are.
Well, I was just wondering if that was it. You just, like, you just dropped a mic or something, and boom, I done told it how I told it. Now, you doggone, there it is. Bam.
Well, I don't want to be rude, but I'm just being honest. I'm an honest person.
There you go. You got to put it out there. And like in dog training, you got to let the dog know what you want it to do, and then the dog will be more likely to do it. So you treat these people like a dog. You just telling them what you want to tell them. And doggone it, you do it this way. Now, say you reach some people there, Aaron. Say they really are interested in checking you out. How can they find you and your organization, and how could they get in touch with you?
You can either reach me by email, which is dumpsterdogrescue@gmail.com, or through my Facebook page, which is Dumpster Dog Rescue, or even give me a call. I have a business phone number. Y'all can reach me at if you need help or just need consultation or direction or anything. You just want to talk dogs, give me a call. And the number is 847-975-3746.
Okay. And lastly, I hear that you are pretty busy in at least one Facebook group other than your own. And I hear that you fool around and boss people around and do a little admin and in a few groups. Do you want to tout any of those groups and maybe folks who have the same as what the group is, maybe they might be interested in looking at the group?
Yeah, I admin for the group Turkish Bows, not Guardian Dogs. We do have some assistant dogs in there and some therapy dogs and just some pet dogs, but they're all the same breed. And then Assistant Dog Project. I co-admin with Lewis Ratliff. And that we just kind of talk about assistant dogs. And, you know, we help with owner-trainer issues, and we pretty much just kind of guide people through the woes and the joys of training your own assistant dog.
Well, all righty then. I know that you're in South Texas. So, and Texas is, you know, known for a little bit of oil drilling. And I've heard a little oil drilling statement that goes something like, well, when you done drilled and hit oil, stop drilling and start pumping. And once the well goes dry, move to the next well. And so I think we done drilled this one, and it's kind of done what it's supposed to do. And now it's time to go take this oil to the market and make some money off of it. And so, Aaron, nobody wants to talk to you tonight. So it looks like I get to let you off the hook. And
hey.
I'm going to let you say goodbye to the people and whatever it is that you want. I ain't trying to write a script for you so you can tell the people. But I'm going to let you have your last words with the listeners. And then I'm going to go ahead and land this puppy, and we're going to be done for the night. So go ahead and say goodbye to the people.
Well, I appreciate you, Doc. Anytime you want me to come on back to talk, just let me know. I'd be happy to. And for anybody out there who's on Facebook who's listening, find me in the groups I admin for, and let's talk dogs.
Well, folks, there you have it. You have heard it from Aaron Dogay. And we're not going to tease her about her name because it's not hers. It's her husband. She just took it. And I don't know. I don't know if I'd have took it myself. But, you know, I'm a man, so, you know, we got issues. But that's okay. I'm not going to tease with her husband because, you know, he's not here to defend himself. But, Aaron, really, for real, I do thank you for coming back and for giving me your time and your input for this hour. And as you may know, may not know, I may need your help out there in San Antonio because of some of my soldiers out there at Fort Sam. And, of course, now they have everybody out there at the hospital. They have all the branches, so it's even more likely that I might have some dogs placed out there. And so I might need you out there, so I might be hollering at you and say, Aaron, bring your clicker. I need some trainers. I need some
please
help.
Please do. I'm more than happy, especially helping the soldiers. I'd be more than happy.
Well, it's not necessarily the soldiers, but the soldiers' family, because we got to help the soldiers' family while he's out there doing for us. We can help him to relax by taking care of home. And now he doesn't have to worry about home because we taking care of home while he's out there taking care of us. But so, yeah, we most definitely got to stay together and keep the network strong. And so I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us from your knowledge base. And I do hope, folks, that if you're out there in that area, that you will make use of Aaron's training. And, you know, if you decide, maybe you're going to get yourself a little farm and, you know, need some help with working your dogs around the animals. She can help you there. If you decide you just want to, you know, get you a good little behavior out of your dog, she can help you there. If you decide, oh, no, now I need a service dog, well, she can help you there. So that's my guest for tonight, and that's Aaron Dogay. And not doggy, but Dogay. And she's there to help you, and she gave you all the information. And so thank everybody for listening tonight. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for following, actually pressing the follow button on the episode and on the show itself. That way you find out who's coming up next, when's the next show, and all that. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for liking. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for following. And come back tomorrow night, and we're going to have another great show with another great interview. And we're going to get some more ideas and some more points of view. And having said that, I love you. Love yourself. And allow your dog to love you. And you love that dog right back. And we will see you tomorrow. Have a good evening. And God bless.